The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our mission is to provide tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas to U.S. military veterans and anybody else willing to listen to help them to navigate toward living their absolute best lives. If you find these episodes helpful, please share them out with somebody that you know of that can use them. And if you really like the podcast, please also head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and a review. It really helps us to spread word about the show, and it really helps to get these tools in the hands of others who really need them. This podcast is sponsored by F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate, with sea salt, with pecan butter. They're absolutely delicious, and they also have a number of other fat-fueled snacks, like their meat sticks and their cheese crisps. They're amazing people who are sending boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front lines, and they're offering 20% off to our listeners on their first orders. If you head over to www.dropanfbomb.com and use the code WarriorSoul at checkout, you'll get 20% off of that first order. And I'm going to keep the announcements short and sweet today. If you can, stick around to the end. I got a really special announcement about a brotherhood that we're creating here at Warrior Soul. So I hope you enjoy this episode. I hope you get a lot out of it. And without delay, let's get into it.
This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. Now, that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's a solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And you need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
You know, in life, you never know what's going to happen. You can try to get a good idea. You can try to prepare yourself for what's going to happen. But at the end of the day, you just don't know what's going to happen. And sometimes life hands us something that is so challenging and so life-changing that we end up in a place where we never thought we could be. And that's what happened to Mr. Keith Murphy. Keith is a U.S. Army veteran. He got through his career. He started a new career as a truck driver. And one day he was out riding on his motorcycle when his life changed forever. He was hit by a woman who wasn't paying attention to where she was going. He lost a leg, and literally his life was transformed, as was his body. But Keith, like everybody who's put into a situation like that, had a choice. He could have either let that situation break him, or he could use that situation to strengthen him, to refine who he was, and to put him on to a new path. And with the help of the Adaptive Training Foundation, Keith found a new lease on life. Today, he's competing in Spartan races, and he is a very, very active person, really inspirational guy. And we brought him and his trainer from the Adaptive Training Foundation, Mr. Alex Barnum, who is a U.S. Marine Corps veteran, to talk about the work they're doing there. You're going to get a lot of inspiration from this. You're going to see that Keith chose not to let his limitations get in the way of living life. And I hope that you guys make the same choice along your way, and that this episode gives you some fuel to be able to do that. So without further delay, let's get into this conversation with Mr. Alex Barnum and Mr. Keith Murphy, discussing the great work that the Adaptive Training Foundation is doing and the amazing paths that these athletes are taking. What's up, guys? How you doing today?
Morning. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I made a big batch of bone broth last night, and put that together. Helps give me energy, helps me to heal the interior lining of my intestinal tract, and it's delicious.
Oh yeah. What'd you cook it off of? Turkey, chicken, beef.
No, I got some beef bones, beef marrow bones that I put in there. Got some ginger, got some turmeric.
There you go.
That's beautiful. Peppers, all that stuff.
And some natural antibiotics. That's perfect.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, it's good, man. So as far as everything goes, for everybody at home, we'll start with Keith. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
All righty. I am Keith Murphy, U.S. Army veteran. I'm a husband, been married for 31 years, father of four. I have four daughters. So, yeah, I live in a house with five women. Yeah. also have two grandchildren, a grandson that'll be four in February, and a granddaughter that'll be two on the 16th of this month.
Nice.
And, yeah, and as far as my professional, I'm a truck driver by profession. And I work basically on road construction here all over, I could say, America, because I've worked in California, I've worked in Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Arkansas, Alabama. So it's kind of regional, but it's not regional because, you know, once I made it to the West Coast, I'm like, this is out of our region because it was a long ride, you know. But that's who I am.
Nice. Nice. And how did you and Alex hear me?
Well, me and Alex met at the Adaptive Training Foundation, and I came to be at that place because of an accident that I had about a year and 2 months ago. I was out riding my motorcycle on a Tuesday afternoon, didn't have any loads to take that day, and a lady ran a red light, and she hit me broadside, and I broke my hip, broke my pelvis, broke my back, dislocated shoulder, seven broken ribs, lacerated kidney, collapsed lung. Oh, and my leg was amputated too. So,
I forgot about that.
Like, it was a pretty rough Tuesday afternoon. And when I woke up out the coma 9 days later and seeing what situation I was in, I was given some pretty bleak and grim news. They were telling me I would never walk again and never do this again, never do that again. And I was being spoon-fed, and I didn't even have the capacity to push a button. So I was right across away from a nurse's station, and I would just call out, hey, I need this, or hey, I would need that. And I could only move my head and my neck. But from, like, right the top of my chest all the way down, I couldn't feel or move anything for about 6 weeks. And when I started to get feeling and stuff back, I was ready to make my move out of the hospital, first of all. They wouldn't let me go because I couldn't go to the bathroom on my own yet. I was transferring from the bed to the wheelchair, but not like they wanted me to. I was still kind of struggling with it a little bit because I had lost 50 pounds and a whole lot of muscle. So I was weak and, you know, lethargic, but I was still in my mind thinking that I wasn't going to be what they said I was going to be. So I got out of hospital in mid-October, and I kind of sat around for a month and couldn't take it no more, and I went to the gym. My wife wheeled me up into ATF, and I just felt it was somewhere that I needed to be. It was something about the place itself. Just
What is ATF?
It's the Adaptive Training Foundation, and it's a gym that's geared toward helping people with disabilities. I mean, we have all kinds of people here, Parkinson's disease, MS, amputated arms and legs on one body. I mean, we've got people here that, like, all he's got is one arm. And, you know, some guys here, they got arms, but they're, like, really, really short. So, I mean, we have a whole lot of adaptive situations here. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, my leg is really, really short. I think my leg's probably about the length of this ink pen.
So are you amputated above the knee or below the knee?
Yeah, way above the knee. I think my femur's probably 3 inches long.
3 inches long. Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, literally, my left leg is about the length of a ballpoint pen that you hold in your hand.
Wow.
Yeah. And
how long between the time you got amputated up till you went to the Adaptive Training Foundation? Like, how'd you find out about it? Did your wife find out about it?
Oh, it was some pamphlets in I guess it was the intensive care place I was in, because my daughter came in with it, my second daughter. And because she was at this point trying to get me to read and just trying to keep my mind off of the situation at hand. So I read about it and stuff, and like put it in a footnote in the back of my mind that I was going to go to this place after I got out of here, because they were thinking that I wasn't going to get out, but I was thinking I was, because I had a plan. I had a plan. And even though some nights I thought that plan wasn't going to go through because I wasn't moving. I couldn't feel nothing, you know. But slowly but surely, I got the feeling back. And when I came here, it was the place that I needed to be. Now, the building itself, it spoke to me before I even got to talk to anybody here. The building said something to me. It was just, I felt like I was where I needed to be. And then I met Hunter Clark, and he talked to me about what this place was and what he could do for me. And I was like, sign me up. And the ironic part about it is the class that was about to start that I wanted to be in, this was the last day for sign up. And the person that was going to sign up had to be a veteran. So It was, everything was just lining up like it was supposed to be in order for me to be here. And I came in, and it was talked about a 9-week program. But to me, 9 weeks was just the tip of the iceberg. I was just actually getting warmed up to get started, to get on the path that I was trying to get on. So I stayed for 9 months, and day in and day out, every day for 9 months. And this place, man, it rebuilt me, man. It really did. I mean, I have been able to do so much that they said that I was not going to be able to do that. I mean, man, my Facebook page is like watching a long movie, man. I mean, it started last August and it's still continuing right now. It's like the movie turned into a weekly episode. Just tune in to see what happens next week.
That's awesome. Now, Alex, you are with the Adaptive Training Foundation. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, correct. Hey, everyone. I'm Alex. I was a Marine for 6 years in the infantry. Spent some time in the embassy security guard as well. In Egypt and in New Zealand, and then I joined a special forces unit. And I've always been into physical fitness and therapeutics and stuff like that, and just how to optimize the human body. And that eventually led me here, just through schooling and stuff like that. So the Adaptive Training Foundation is a nonprofit that caters to anyone with a physical disability. And it's completely free to them. They just come in, they apply. We have around 15 spots per 9-week class. So we take 4 classes every year. And we use our scientific research and data just to help show people, you know, hey, look, whatever the doctors said isn't necessarily the end all be all state of what's possible for you now. Like, they told Keith he wouldn't walk again, he wouldn't stand up again, he wouldn't be able to do certain things. And this guy uses one leg now better than most people use too. So what we really do is we first remove the barriers that the medical industry put on someone, and then we help them discover what their body's actually capable of and show them how to interact with their environment on a daily basis.
Nice. Now, so obviously they want to give you a few blue crayons in return for the work that you do for them. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Well, as a Marine, I do specialize in eating crayons.
Yes. Yes.
Only the red ones though.
Okay. All right. I like the blue ones. So I've seen some amazing things happen when it comes to people who've been through things like this. I had on a gentleman named Rob Jones a few weeks ago. Rob is a double above the knee amputee. He went on to run 31 marathons in 31 days. bicycled across country. And
wow. You know, a winner.
Yeah. Crazy, crazy, right? I'm trying to get myself to run a little bit more. two legs, right? But you know, the thing is, it seems like people who go through a situation like this, if they can take the right mindset into it, can be capable of some amazing things. Keith, what do you think that was with you? Did you have any moments where you felt bitter, where you felt like, okay, what the heck's going to happen now? And was there a transition there for your mindset?
Yes, I was PO'd. I ain't gonna say the real word, but you know what I'm talking about. I was like really, really mad about it. And this place, Adaptive Training Foundation, they deal with that like right up front, because part of our programming, when we come here for our class, the first 15 minutes before we start to work out is work the mind. We sit and we relax and we listen to some nice soft music, some soft lighting, and we relax. I mean, we really concentrate on the mind. And we have a coach. We have a mind coach. And we get after that part of it first. And at the end of each workout, we have another 15 minutes of decompressing the mind once again. And that led to me letting some things go. We have what we call a root meeting. Now, I think it was in the first, maybe it was the second. Was that the second week we were here? Maybe. Week two, we have like a meeting, like after we worked out and everybody's went home and, you know, it's 7, 8 o'clock at night. We're all at the gym as a class together with some of our trainers were here, but it was mostly just us. And it was one of those, just let it out, tell what's wrong with you and what you gonna do about it. And what's just let it all out. And for me that night, I was able to let the lady who hit me just, I'm sorry that you hit me and that you never said you were sorry, never came acknowledged or nothing. But you are going to have to deal with that, because I have no more time to waste to think about you, because I have more important things to think about. First and foremost is rebuilding my body and restructuring myself. So I am now forgetting you and letting you go and moving on with myself. And that's where I was with that. And I had something that I wanted to accomplish, and I didn't have the time or the energy to waste on being mad at a person that I didn't even know. My wife said it best. She said, you're going around all bitter, and you're going to let a woman that you don't even like or even know take you away from you. Because I was thinking about stupid stuff. You know, retaliation, doing something, you know, even if it ain't nothing but accosting someone, yelling at them, that's still against the law, you know? So you could do something, get in trouble, which she was right, because when they call the police on you, they are going to arrest you, whether you like it or not. And if you act bad, you might not get arrested, you might get killed. So she was right. So I had to wash my hands of her, man, and let her go. And she's the one that hit someone and didn't do anything to acknowledge. She'll have to live with that, no matter what she says or how she acts. Whenever she looks at herself in the mirror and when she's alone, she knows what she did and she knows what she didn't do. And she's the one that has to deal with that, not me. My energy was focused on making myself better and accomplishing things that they said that I couldn't accomplish.
You know, that's so profound, because I think whether we've been hit by somebody, hit by a car, or whether we've had something happen, we all do that, right?
So right you get mad. Yeah.
And you sit there and you're like, well, I bet that person's happy right now, or I bet that person's enjoying themselves right now. And you're seeing that in your own head, right? Mm-hmm. and the reality is that person, you know, they're probably going on with their lives, they're probably doing other things, and so what? right? You got a job, and that job is to look after your own life and sell forward. And, you know, what with all these things, the time we live in right now, I mean, we sit here all day long bickering back and forth over politics, over all these crazy things. And the reality is that a lot of people are really worried about what other people are saying and doing, but not worried about what's important, which is moving their own life forward.
Correct. Oh, for sure. What we really try to impart, and Keith really kind of latched onto it at a level of forgiveness with this woman that's, like, I think hard for a lot of us to grok with and understand, but we really try to teach everyone, like, look, don't give the other person the power over your life. Like, why are you allowing this person to determine not only how you feel, but then, like, how you're going to interact with other people, you know? Like, sometimes you're pissed off about something, you meet someone and they're like, how's your day? And you start yelling at them, you know? And I think we all kind of deal with that as vets. I mean, I know I can, like, be driving somewhere and I'll start talking myself up about something in the car. And then all of a sudden I'm like, what the hell? Like, how am I so pissed off right now? I'm about to go see my wife. And instead, like, of greeting her and asking her how her day was, I'm so wrapped up in my own stuff that I can't even reach outside of myself and acknowledge another person the way they deserve to be acknowledged, you know? So it's like this long journey. You know, we only take 15 minutes a day so that people can practice it very incrementally, but really it's, you know, it teaches you how to keep control of your own life and not give other people power over your actions or your words or your emotions.
Yeah. There's another danger there too. And maybe for the people who hadn't been hit by a car, maybe they got Parkinson's disease or MS or something like that. And then your battles with God. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's a harder battle to deal with because
he go win.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, whether in your belief system it's God, creator, universe, world, whatever it is, if you're blaming God for your situation, you know, it's a wrestling match you can't win. You'll never win. And if you carry that bitterness around in your heart, then it's going to be with you for the rest of your life, and it's going to limit you for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I feel like God loves me to the point that he already had my life mapped out before I was in my mother's womb. So this happening to me was just something that was a part of his bigger plan to maybe this happened to me to put me on the path to help someone else. And it's only been a year, and I've already helped people that I didn't even know I helped, but it's been coming back to me to let me know that I helped them, both indirectly and directly. And I trust and believe in him, and just because I had two choices. What gets me is, like, I don't even know what this thing is called. I call it a big kite, but you get on this big kite and the boat takes off and pulls you. You go up in there and you're screaming and having a great time, right? I'm thinking 8 months ago, I was laid up and I couldn't move. And now I'm in Santa Monica Bay screaming behind a boat on a giant kite, having the time of my life. That's choice A. Or you can have choice B, laid up in the bed back in Dallas, Texas, talking about, why they hit me? Why this happened to me? Them your two choices that you had right there. So I'm going to go with A, because it's going to be a no for me on the B. I don't want to sit back and talk about why always me. I like having fun on the giant kite, man.
Right, exactly. And that is a choice. I mean, if you there's this amazing book I think everybody needs to read. It's called Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl. And it details his life. For 3 years, this man endured the Nazi concentration camps, witnessed countless murders, lived in absolute squalor, covered in filth and excrement and all these different things. And at the end of it, when he finally got freed, he comes back to Vienna, and he finds that his whole family had been killed. And so the idea of the book is, how does a person go on? How does a person continue despite all that happening? And the lessons he brings is that, number one, it's a choice. And it's a choice. We can't control what happens to us,
Right.
How we respond to it and how we let it affect us. In order to get through something like that, you got to bring meaning to the suffering, right? A higher meaning attached to it. And, you know, for you, that looks like it's your faith. And I think that's a big argument for religion in our society, to bring meaning to this life and bring meaning to the suffering. But beyond that, I mean, it's also, regardless of what happens to us, if we're out there just chasing goals with no meaning, then we're not going to get anywhere. We're just going to be chasing around in circles. But if we look at our lives, we look at those obstacles in front of us, and we start to feel gratitude for those obstacles, and we figure out a way that we can use those obstacles to help others, then that's amazing. That's the
main. That's it.
That's it. Exactly.
That's it right there. I mean, I'm taking what has happened to me and using it to help someone else. I mean, like tomorrow, I got a doctor's appointment to go see my doctor. Every time I go to my doctor's, I go back to the rehab that I got out of, and I see somebody who just got their leg cut off. And I say, hey, it ain't what you think it is. Don't have your head down, because you're hurting and you're in pain right now. But I'm going to tell you, it's a big party in a couple months. But don't let your head be down. And I go and I encourage these people, because there was nobody there to come talk to me. And I can remember how sad I was when I woke up and my leg wasn't there, man. It was devastating, man. It really was. But at the same time, I had two choices. I can keep going down the devastation hole, or I can say, okay, hold up. Let's turn it around. Even though I don't have a leg, what can I do now that I don't have a leg to keep moving forward? Can I still work? Can I still do this? Can I still do that? Even though they're saying no, I'm saying, yes, I can. And I'm all on the internet trying to find out how you can do this, how you can do that. Like, how much does it cost to get the bathroom changed? I mean, things that my wife was like, why are you checking all this? Because I'm like, it's not going to grow back. And I'm like, we might as well catch it right up front and deal with it, hit the ground running instead of laying. You know, I just think trying not to hit something head on is the worst thing in the world to do. If you try to avoid something, it's not going to go away. It's going to still be there. And the longer you take to face it, the harder it is going to be to face it. It's like with me jumping straight into it, I didn't get to develop any bad habits, so to speak, as in like hopping around on a leg. And, you know, I always use the wheelchair, and, you know, getting with somebody like these people that know, because they've dealt, this isn't their first amputation. I'm not the first guy to lose a leg. These people are well-versed in how to help people that are in my situation. So I listened to them and I did what they said, because they know what they're talking about. I didn't. I'm brand new to this. So with all these people around me helping me and pointing me in the right direction, and I'm doing what they're saying, I didn't have a chance to get to the side. And to get to the side is when you sit and you lull. You can't just, oh, why this happened? When you do that, that gives the bad habit a course and a route into you. The thing to do when something like what happened to me happens to someone or happens to you, you need to get immersed in a community of people that are like you, because they can help you. You know, it's nothing like talking to a guy who hadn't had a leg in 10 years about how he does things, because this ain't his first rodeo. He know what it's like to walk outside on ice with one leg, because he's done it. I haven't. This is my first freeze. So I need to talk to this guy so he can tell me how to do this, what not to do, things about getting in and out of the shower. I mean, it's all kinds of little information that you can get from people who have actual hands-on experience, no pun intended, that can help you. But you can't isolate yourself away and think that you are going to know it all about something that you have no idea about, because ignorance is not a bad word. It just means that you don't know.
Right. Right. Exactly. Exactly. How do most people get in touch with the foundation? How do they come to you?
actually probably most of it is word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
We do have an Instagram page and a Facebook page and a YouTube channel and a website. Anyone who wants to apply can go to our website and click the link and fill out, you know, their situation and what's going on and stuff like that, and we'll get back to them. Yeah, really, it's mostly word of mouth, you know, which is
word of mouth, and then like clicking on the link and stuff. I couldn't even lift my hands above my head, man. But after I seen I needed to come here, and once I came, I didn't leave. Like I said, I stayed here for 9 months, and the only reason why I left the gym is I had been off work for 55 weeks. I was capable. I'm strong, and I didn't want to run out of money, so it's time to go back to work and start generating some income and putting back some of the income that I spent during my recovery.
Yeah, sure. But what are you doing now? What are you getting ready to go do this weekend?
I am finna go to Spartan in Laughlin, Nevada. The championship is this weekend. Yeah, man, there's a $10,000 prize down there for first place. And I think my name is on it. I really do. I'm gonna go find out for sure though.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, awesome. Yeah, so we bring people in here and there's definitely an ATF tribe here. But I mean, the biggest thing we do, like we end every class we do by taking that group of people out somewhere else in the country, to Tahoe, to Utah, to California somewhere.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, cool, use what we helped you attain now. Because once you start using it, it's not like we're bringing you here to keep you at the gym. I mean, one, it's a nonprofit. You're not paying us anything anyway.
We're just
setting you up with a foundation and then showing you, hey, there's Paraspartan, there's Paralympics, there's... Yes. Like, you know,
but you have to be willing to want to do all these things. Like me, I'm a guy, I'm from Texas, native. I'm from here. We don't have mountains. We don't have snow. But I got out there on the mountains and fell in love with it, man. I sit in a chair and I go down the mountain. I'm shredding up and down the mountain, sitting in a chair with outriggers in my hand. And it's the best. It's exhilarating. It's fun. But you have to be in shape because it's work, but it's fun. And the... with the bobsled team for United States of America, Go USA, and I do Paralympics. I do like the Spartan events, the Tough Mudders. I've participated in those, and there have been people come up to me and they like, man, I couldn't quit once you passed me. You know, it's like a guy with one leg on crutches just passed you up on the obstacle course. You can't stay there. You finish throwing up and come on. Yeah.
And it's not just that end of the spectrum. You know, there's a woman in our class right now going through, just to use a recent example. She was sitting in the back of an Escalade and she was crushed by a pickup truck. Spinal cord injury, came in quadriplegic, been working with her, been spinning her up. She started walking again. She started moving again. But her left arm was still hemiplegic. And that just means it was paralyzed, right? Like no feeling, kind of like a stroke victim. And so her biggest thing was, she was like, look, I just want to be a good mom again. I want to be able to pick my kids up. I want to be able to go home and take care of my 2-year-old and my 3-year-old and, you know, help them grow. And so she's not really looking at Paralympics and Paraspartan the way Keith is. And I'm glad he fell in love with that, you know, but she just wants that freedom and autonomy to, you know, be able to walk home and use both of her arms to pick her child up again. And the other day, 2 weeks ago, we returned function to the arm and we've been strengthening it. And she just picked her kid up with two arms the other day.
Yeah, I see. That's what I'm talking about right there.
That's amazing. And that, you know, I mean, that goes back to that idea of meaning, right? We get every year, I mean, we got New Year's coming up in a couple of months, right? So every year people set goals, right? And you, first of the year or second, January 2nd, you'll see the gyms packed, right? There'll be tons and tons of people in the gyms. By March 1st, you'll see most of those people gone, right? Now, why? And the reason is because they'll set these goals because they'll think six-pack abs or a bigger squat or something like that is going to give them a bigger sense of self-worth. But most of them give up because they can't find a real meaning behind the goal. To be able to say, hey, I want to lift my kid up, or hey, I want to be able to show people that a man with one leg can complete a Spartan race, and not only complete a Spartan race, but win. That's meaning right there. That's meaning. You know, and I think a lot of us, the lesson for everybody at home, again, regardless if you're in this type of situation or not, whatever you're going to pursue in life, make sure there's meaning behind it, because
if
there isn't, you'll give it up.
For sure. And to your point, for anyone listening, you know, because those things can be daunting. It's like society has kind of put these left and right lateral limits on us to be like, this is what fitness is. This is what it means. This is how it's expressed. This is how it's defined. But I look at all of that and I'm like, hey, are we all part of the same species? Like, are we all humans? Like, you show me the hunter and gatherer who is doing a back squat, you know? Like, no way. You know, just it be, like for me, when I work with anyone, whether they're, you know, disabled or not, I look at them and I say, hey, look, like, are you a human? Like, your everyday life should be pain-free. That's a good goal right there. Like, just be able to move, make sure your clothes fit well. And if you start measuring success by, do I feel good and do my clothes fit well, everything changes and you start finding more meaning in things. And then the world starts to open up little bit by little bit. And you're like, wow, maybe I will do rock climbing for a little bit. Or maybe I'll go and get back into volleyball. I haven't done that since college. Or maybe I'll, you know, start riding bikes with my grandkids or whatever it happens to be, you know. And meaning's in movement and meaning is interacting with each other.
Hey, guys, I hope you're getting a lot out of this interview. You know, the Warrior Soul podcast is built with the mission to empower its listeners to live absolutely epic lives. And that's why we recently created a group called the Warriors Obituary Society. This group is built to empower its members to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with an 8-week development program. And with this development program, what you're going to do is you're going to outline a vision for your life. You're going to get very specific about what you want. Because without that specificity, you don't know where you're going and you don't know what you're doing. From there, we help our members to develop specific goals, objectives that they are going to push toward, and that their fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society are going to hold them accountable to. From there, we're getting down into specifics. We're going to help you to develop and customize your own personal fitness and nutrition plan to help to fuel your body and fuel your mind for the quest ahead. From there, we're going to work on your personal finances. We're going to help you to knock down debt. We're going to help you to start saving money and to create a plan so that you can start investing in your dreams. Then we're going to get into your business and career. We're going to help you to develop the skills that you need to develop yourself so that you can have a major impact in the field you choose. If you choose to go into business, we're going to help you to set up the foundations that you need to create your own company and get started on your path in life. From there, we're going to be working on your relationships. We're going to help you to develop a world-class network. And all along the way, you're going to have your fellow members of the Warriors Obituary Society pushing you in every single area. We meet once a week over a live call, and we're constantly communicating over our own private forum on Slack. We don't do anything over social media, and that's because I don't want anybody feeling like anyone's looking over their shoulders, and I don't want you exposed to the crazy, distracting alerts that you get on Facebook and some of the other social media platforms. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This one does not. For the price, it is the best development program on the internet. And that's because our mission here at Warrior Soul is to empower people to get more out of life so that they can in turn make the world a better place. We've got a great mix of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians in this group. We wanted to keep it really eclectic so that we get a lot of different types of views up there and a lot of different people with different areas of expertise. If you think that this is something that would be of interest to you, and that this is something that could empower you to live your absolute best life, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. That's www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can sign up today. And if you have any questions about it, just reach out to me at chris@warriorsoulagoge.com. That's C-H-R-I-S at warriorsoulagoge.com. I'm happy to even sit down with you for a phone call for a few minutes to see if the group is right for you. I look forward to seeing you guys in there. and let's get back to this awesome interview. And Keith, are you still driving trucks?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, awesome. I am. I went back to my exact same job, same company, everything. Doing the exact same thing I was before it happened. And that was like part of the meaning. It's like they said that I couldn't. And it's like, I'm going to because you said I couldn't. I mean, it's like I would actually really rather have another job. But since you said I couldn't do this one, I'll show you. It's kind of like I can show you better than I can tell you, you know. I don't have to tell you that I can drive trucks. When you see me pull up in and drop the load off, it'll be obvious that he can drive trucks.
Awesome. And do you find greater enjoyment from the job now than you did before? Has that changed? Has that is there a greater sense of gratitude there?
Well, now there is a sense of appreciation. I mean, at first I had, you know, been on this job 6-7 years, you know, go to work, go home, go to work, go home. But now when I'm at work and I'm cruising down the highway and I got my load, my mind is more directed of how much I appreciate just having a job, how much I appreciate being healthy, having 20/20 vision to see down the road. I mean, I think about all kinds of little bitty things that a lot of people take for granted that to me it's not for granted anymore. I really appreciate being able to breathe on my own without pain. It's just I've came from a long way back and had the option, or how do I want to word this? I had the opportunity to know what it's like to not. I've had the best of both worlds. I know what it's like to have, and I know what it's like to not. And not have not, but to not. There's a difference between, oh, he didn't have it, or not. It's like, I wasn't moving because I couldn't. It wasn't like that he had the opportunity to move. He doesn't possess the opportunity now because the nerve endings don't work. So you're not. Not a have not, but you're not, because you're not doing anything. But I've also known what it's like to be fully functional. Mm-hmm. And now I'm what I call in the happy middle. I am fully functional, but I'm missing one part. So it's not like I got the total package, but I know what it's like to have the total package, and I know what it's like for nothing in the package to work. And being in this happy meal right here, there is a lot of things that I appreciate. Like I said, man, I appreciate just being able to sit up and swing my legs over the side of the bed, because there was a time that not. You are not sitting up and you are not swinging your legs over the bed. I don't care how bad that you want to. And some of those days that I had alone by myself, to where my mom wasn't there, my kids weren't there, my friends weren't there, I was just alone in the room looking at the ceiling tiles. There is a humbling that comes about you, especially when you don't know if you'll ever get the fully functional or the happy middle back again. I mean, man, for me to pick up a glass of water one time was a joy, because the not part is really, really tough, especially if your mindset doesn't have you to have the faith to think that there's going to be a happy medium or a fully functioning again. If you don't think it's going to happen, man, that could, I already know how dark it was for me, but I had the glimmer of hope that I'm going to be fully functional again. Mm-hmm. But had I not had that, I just think about how much darker could it have been? I mean, Because it make you cry. Type darkness is where I've been. But to, you know, to come back to where I'm at now, it's just like the Lord looked at me and said, I told you so. I told you I'd never leave you, never forsake you. But it was up to you to believe and trust in me not to leave you or forsake you. Because when you thought you was alone, I was the one that was holding you up. I was the one that made you think that you was going to walk again. I was the one that put the thought in your mind to let you know that you was going to do something. All of my days and all the hairs of my head, and my hair is pretty, are counted by the Lord and numbered. He knows me inside and out. God loves me more than I love me. So with me knowing that, man, it gives me a faith that when something is hurting me, when something I don't feel like I can go on, I can always just have that glimmer and know that it's there. And that's what gives me my strength, man. That's my superpower, man. To let me know that I'm gonna do anything, man. Anything they say I can't do. When I got here, I couldn't put my hands above my head. But I have enough strength in these little toothpick arms where I can climb a 20-foot rope up, back down, back up, and back down again, controlled. This all just, I don't have no leg to help me. It's all arms and muscles in the chest, midsection, core. And I got all that from this place. And they said you weren't going to be able to do this. But it's all, to me, it's all up to the individual. Because the very first day I rolled off the elevator at rehab, and I didn't want to go, but I realized that I was in a lot better shape than I thought I was. Because I see people that had two legs, but they didn't work. Two arms, but they didn't work. The only thing that worked was their index finger and their thumb and their... Somebody had to help them get dressed. Somebody had to help them go to the bathroom. It's a whole long, drawn-out deal, man. And my whole mind changed about everything, all that. Man, I got one leg. How am I going to do this? Attitude went. I guess it caught the elevator to the basement, man. It must have stayed on the elevator because it didn't get off of me. My whole attitude changed just by getting off the elevator and looking at, oh, wow. It's something to see to be in a rehab center and you think you got it bad and you see 50 more people that's got it 10 times as worse as you do. And it's like, well, I'm really actually taking up space. There's people in here that need this place more than I do. I really need to be packing my stuff up, getting out of here. And that's what I did. I packed up, got out, and I moved into this place, man.
That's amazing. That's good.
Yeah. For real, man. For real, that's basically what happened.
Are you still riding motorcycles?
Yep. Got a nice RTS Spider. Two wheels in the front, one in the back. Heated hand grip so I can ride when it's cold. Heated seats so my buns stay toasty. Yup.
Was there any initial fear on getting back on?
I would be lying if I said no, but there is something in me that pushes harder than the fear. Because when I was I got hit in August and I didn't get out of the hospital till mid-October. I came to the gym in December, couldn't put my hands above my head. Before class started in January, I had already went out and bought a motorcycle. Because I was coming to the gym in December trying to get ready for the class in January. And there's another trainer here. Her name is Billy. She got me to where I could put my hands out in front of me. And that was it. I went and bought another motorcycle and continued to ride. And I rode up and down the surface streets for a while before I got on the highway. And the crazy part about it, I got hit on the surface street. But I wasn't ready to go above 40 or 50 miles an hour for a while. And once I got back out on the highway, it was back to just like riding a bike again. It's normal.
Did your wife want to kill you?
Yeah.
She's been with me for 31 years and she pretty much knows that it's in me. I've been riding all my life. When she met me, I was riding. So
She knew it. Yeah. She was just amazed, though. Didn't think that I would, because it was such a catastrophic accident right in the intersection. I mean, bam. Mm-hmm. T-boned me. Did a lot of damage, you know. A lot of damage. But I feel like not only with God on my side, but because I wanted to recover and because of all the people that I had around me, it went really quick because, like, right now, to this day, we're looking at a year and 2 months from impact.
That's crazy.
I've done so much. I mean, Alex himself, I was trying to climb a mountain. And when I got tired, he literally put me on his back and took me to the top of the mountain. And this was like 11,000 feet. So we're talking a couple miles up. The air gets thin. But he took me all the way, man. Yeah, so. And it's amazing. We were walking around. I forget what little town we were in. They were talking about we might go to a lake. So I wheel my wheelchair around over to the sporting goods department, and I buy a life jacket. And they was like, "What are you getting that for?" Because I say, "If we get by some water, and my buoyancy ain't as good as it used to be since I lost my leg." So when we got to the top of a mountain, it was this beautiful lake, man. That was like a snow melt. The mountain snow had melted and whoop, formed the lake, right? And it was beautiful, man. Who was the first one off their horse, down the side of the rocks, with shorts on and a life vest and into the water? Who do you think was first?
Nice.
Yeah.
Jumped in there.
Jumped in the lake, man. Invigorated. It was nice and cold. It's like a cryogenic. Just knocked all the pain and creaks and cramps out your muscles. And after I froze and my lips started to turn blue, I got out and climbed back up to the top. And it was just, you know, to sit back, man, and look out across the mountains, man, and look at this water and stuff. And, you know, they done told you a few months back that you would never walk again. And look what you just did. Yeah, man. We've had some great times, man. And like I say, it's just the beginning, man. It's just only a year ago, man. Just a year ago, and like I've been to bobsled camp twice. I missed the national teams, man, by like 1.2 seconds, man. But I wasn't really ready because that schedule is so packed. Like, they're finna take out. I wouldn't be able to do this event. I would be on the way to Norway if I'd have made. Because like, I just started this sport. The guys that beat me out, they've been running for 3, 2, and 5 years. And I'm already on their heels. They've been in the sport that long. And I've been in the sport, I could say, basically a week. I've probably got maybe 30 or 40 trips down the track, and they've got like 300 or 400 trips down the track. But I'm only a second behind them. And we don't even weigh the same. They got me like 40 keys on me, man. And yeah, I'm serious. If we all weighed the same, man, literally and truly, by my calculations, they should be beating me by 4 seconds, 3 at the least, with the way things are set up. By they outweighing me like they do and the experience that they have, they should be at least 3 to 4 seconds in front of me, but they're only 1 in front of me.
That's amazing.
So, I told them I'm coming. I got to go. I'll be back in camp in March, but I'm coming for somebody's job. I love y'all. Y'all my friends, and we've been roommates, but I'm looking for your job. Okay.
No. Gotta get after it, man. I'm trying
to get to Beijing in 2022. That's the whole purpose of it. That's the whole purpose. I would like to, yeah. Nice. I'm trying to get a gold medal, man. And they got it in Beijing.
So when people are apply, where can people go to apply to the program? And do you have to be located in your area, or do you take people nationally?
Everywhere. International, too. I'll let Alex tell you, but we just had a guy in the last class. He was from Canada. He was real cool. His name was Tyler. But yeah, man, go to the website and apply. Go ahead,
Alex. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Man, you're doing great, bro.
Yeah, go to the website and apply. And but just it's on a case by case basis. You put in your application, they'll review it, and somebody will contact you, and y'all will talk things over and see if it's a good fit. That's pretty much it, how it works to get in here.
Yeah, so again, it's nonprofit, so everything's paid for that person. The only thing we can't pay for yet is the plane ticket to us. So as long as the national athlete inside the continental United States or the international athlete, we currently have someone from London, can get the plane ticket here, everything else is paid for. Your training, your food, your lodging, all of your auxiliary activities, like going to adaptive rock climbing, adaptive horseback riding, adaptive skiing, surfing, snowboarding,
everything. Man, everything, man.
It's all paid for you,
yeah,
to include your food and your lodging, and yeah, it's just that one plane ticket. So
but you do have to pay 100% effort each and every time you come in that door. Every time, 9-week commitment, do not miss, 3 times a week, 2 hours a day, and extracurricular activities during the week too, such as rock climbing, equestrian, kayaking, snowboarding. Well, that'll come at the end of the class. Wakeboarding, like out on the lake. But yes, there's a lot that goes on here. It's a lot of fun here. You'll come here thinking, how am I ever going to adapt to this? But they're going to write a program, and they're going to make you glad you are who you are.
Outstanding.
I mean, that's for real. That's real talk. I'm telling you from experience. That's why my story is so good, because this is not scripted. It ain't Hollywood. This is real life. I'm a U.S. soldier that went to combat, got home with all my parts, everything, married a girl, another soldier, 30 years of marriage, loving, boom, accident one day. You lost that same leg that you could have lost in combat, but you lost it at home. Guess what? The same community that you would have went to if you had got lost in combat is the same one that you would come through. It's here for you. It's here. All you need to do is commit and give it 100% every time you come through the door.
That's great. And where can people go to donate to the foundation?
They can go online. There's a donate button in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. Yeah. They can, you know, if they want to, you know, be a long-term supporter, they can sign up for a monthly recurring donation. They can give one time. If anyone's local or if anyone's passing through the area, we have an event the first Friday of every month called Sweatiest Hour, where, it's completely free. You don't have to pay for it. You just kind of sign up online and on the Facebook page, and then you come in, you get a spot, and, everyone goes through a workout with all of our athletes that are available that evening to come in and, you know, train and show everyone, you know, awesomeness, you know. And we tailor the workouts for anyone who shows up who's able-bodied to be like, cool, today this workout, all of you are missing your left leg. So it's not on touch the ground again the rest of the evening, you know. And you get to go through everything and kind of get to see for a moment what it's like to be adaptive.
Awesome. That sounds like a great experience.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Well, listen, guys, I appreciate you both coming on to the show. For everybody at home, I think there's a lot of lessons to be taken from this episode, whether you've got all your appendages or not. And the biggest amongst them is that I think regardless of what you're doing, it's not about what happens to you that matters. It's how you respond to it.
Right? That is it.
If you look real hard, you can find a lot of ugliness out there in the world. You can find things you disagree with. You can find tragedy. You can find so many things to complain about. But at the end of the day, what matters is not us sitting here and complaining about everything, but what we do in spite of those awful things. So you all have a choice to make something out of your life, to build positivity, to create, to influence others, and a choice that you just got to take, got to make for yourself. And so with that, guys, you have anything else?
No, man.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I appreciate you for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we'll get all the contact information for the Adapt Training Foundation up on the show notes. And with that, guys, get out there and live your best lives while you can. All right, guys, I hope you got some serious inspiration from Keith and from Alex. That story is absolutely amazing, and it's so great to see somebody who's been through so much to still be getting so much out of life. And that's what the Warrior Soul podcast is about, bringing these stories to you guys. If you want to support the Adaptive Training Foundation, head over to www.adaptivetrainingfoundation.org. You can support the organization, and if you're in need of their services, you can also apply. We'll also have links to this up on the show notes for this episode. And if you want to support the amazing work the Warrior Soul podcast is doing in empowering the U.S. military veteran community to live their absolute best lives, you can do so in a few different ways. Number one, you can head over to our awesome store. We've got clothing that's designed, printed, and made by U.S. Marine Corps veterans up in our shop in Santa Barbara, California. We've got some great gear there, and some of the shirts are hilarious, and they all look really good. So if you're interested in getting yourself a shirt and supporting us at the same time, you can head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. If you want to support us on Patreon, we've got a number of tiers that you can do so at. You can head over to www.patreon.com/warriorsoulpodcast. And then beyond that, if you want to support yourself with the Warriors Obituary Society, you can head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com, and you can join our amazing development program that is helping its members to live absolutely epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. If you don't want to give any money at all, that is fine too. But if you're getting something out of the podcast, we highly, highly encourage you to head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It helps to get this information into the ears of more veterans so that we can empower this community to take its rightful place as leaders in this society and put this country on the path it's supposed to be on. I want to thank you guys so much for listening, and we will be back at you later on this week with more awesome content. This is Chris Albert, and I am out.